Amen. Thanks for your giving this morning. Hey, it's my privilege to introduce this morning a friend, a missionary friend, a man that grew up in this area, lived in Santee back in the day. I love to hear when he tells me stories about what it looked like before it was Santee Lakes, huh? That's kind of cool. But Mike and Dodie Files are friends of this house for many, many, many years. They have been a part of our missionary family, and I say that sincerely, a part of our family, not just in the writing of a check every month, but we really believe that those that we support as missionaries that are sent out to go across the globe, they really need to be a part of our family, not just in title, but in function. And so we bless Mike and Dodie. We're honored that they're here today. I want you to do me a favor and welcome Mike Files as he comes. Mike, God bless you, my friend. Bless you, man. Love you a lot, dude.
Good morning. It is a delight to be here today. Let me just immediately introduce my wife, Dodie, again, for those of you that do not know her. Let me get a couple of things connected here, so make sure I'm... There we go. I tell people this all the time. When I drive down either 5805 or 163 or 15 or whatever, the minute I hit Mission Valley, it's just like something clicks in my brain. It's like I'm home. And so I always love being here. We always love being with you. And thank you, Pastor Barry and Candy, for the invitation to be here today and the opportunity to share for a few minutes of what God's doing in our life as missionaries in Latin America. I did grow up in Santee, and it really is true that there were no lakes there when I got there. Just pits and snakes and rattlesnakes and horny toads, and that all stuff came up into your yards too, so it was kind of fun at times. But anyway, I am a graduate of Santa Ana High School, and so I'm from here. This is home for me. And so again, we're just delighted to be here again, and thank you. Thank you for your presence, your support. One of the things that I want to do today is give you two very specific areas of how you can help us to pray. And so, and as I move along in the presentation, the message today, I will give you more details about how you can help us to pray. And there's just a couple of critical areas where we need your help to pray. Dodie and I actually serve in three ministries. One is Latin America Child Care or Child Hope. Many of you have heard of that. You've known about that for a number of years. We continue to serve with them as a part of their leadership team and to serve for all of the southern part of South America. In addition to that, we are the area directors for five countries of what's called the Southern Cone of South America. What that means is that we supervise about 80 missionaries and families, or 80 missionaries and their families, and included in that is the countries of Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Chile. And one of our regular constant challenges is not only leading that team of missionaries, but sometimes dealing with the administrative issues or the approvals that they need, or sometimes having to say no. And we honestly need the Lord to give us wisdom, constant wisdom. We understand that. We know that we need that. And so we really need you to help us to pray with that as well. And I'm going to, during the message part, I'm going to tell you a little bit more how you can help us to pray as area directors. The other thing is that Dodie and I serve as lead pastors for a church in Santiago, Chile. We have two campuses on what's called the northeast side of Santiago. In Spanish, it's called the Barrio Alto. But it's where we are serving as the lead pastors. A couple years ago, we planted a brand new church, took one of our pastors, sent him and his wife and family off. That church now in a couple of years is running about 120. They're doing very, very well. And so we ask you to pray for them. But there's one particular way that you can help us pray for this part of our ministry as lead pastors. Is Las Condes is an area that an entire, what's called Barrio Alto, is an area of about 1 million people. In that area of 1 million people, less than 1% have been reached with the gospel. In the area of 1 million people, there are, to my knowledge, only three Pentecostal churches. That's it. Ourselves, the Vineyard, and one other Assembly of God church. And so there's not a lot of witness going on in that area. It's a very expensive area. To give you an idea, a piece of land, 30 by 40 meters, which I think is about 100 by 150, 160 feet, is $1 million. It's extremely expensive. It's like buying land in Manhattan, if you can kind of imagine that. We need you to pray for this. The church has been operating for almost 20 years. In that period of time, we've never had our own location. Every single month we pay, this may not sound like a lot to you, but for us, it's a lot. $6,000 a month in rent, to rent facilities to be able to have our congregation. That's a lot. Thank the Lord, the congregation is paying for all of that. They're taking care of our pastoral staff and all of them and all the expenses for the church. But we need to find a permanent location. And so we want to ask you today, just remember to pray for this one area, that for this church in Santiago, Chile, where we serve as the lead pastors, if you would please pray for that. Exactly. The picture on the right is our congregation in Huachuraba, which is our church plant. And the picture on the left is our congregation today, meeting in a facility that's owned by the Vineyard. But they don't use it on Sundays. They have another facility for Sundays. And so we're using that facility right now. And that's part of why we're paying $6,000 a month. So help us to pray for that. Our next step, we've started one church. Our next step is to try to start another church in a neighboring community close to us. Again, part of the area, the Barrio Alto, where we're at. And again, so just please pray for the Lord to help us to do that. So if you would, and we just need you to pray for that. As area directors, how can you help us to pray? Well, let me tell you what we're doing. And I'm going to go into some detail about this in the message. But one of our goals, the nation of Brazil, is part of the Brazil is the Amazon River. You probably know that from your geography. That area of Brazil, we have between 180 and 200 unreached people group tribes. We're talking about tribes that have never before been touched by outside people. In Brazil, it is against the law to go into one of these tribal communities. They have an organization called FUNAI, F-U-N-A-I. I know some of you like to Google things while the preacher is preaching or person is talking, so Google that. And you'll find immediately it talks about the organization of Brazil to stop any outsiders from going into the tribe, anybody. But that also includes us, the evangelicals and Pentecostals. We cannot reach the tribes. And so we have to find another way to do that, another way to make that to happen. There are areas that are so remote and rugged that outsiders rarely, if ever, go there. So please pray. One of our goals is to put together a team of missionaries, 4 to 5 missionaries, to live in the city of Manaus, Brazil. It's the main port for the Amazon River. And to live in that city, and from there, establish a training facility to train the tribal people that come into Manaus, and I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes, but they come there, train them to go back to their own tribes. We legally can't go there, but their own tribal people can go back there. So please pray that God would help us to establish this team. Now, let me just tell you one exciting thing. We just have approved our first couple family to go to Manaus, Brazil. That's one. So what do we need? We need you to pray for 3 or 4 more. That's what we need you to pray. We're just beginning conversations possibly of another person. But we need 3 or 4 families to go to Manaus, Brazil. Manaus is hard. We're talking like 110, 120 degrees with 99% humidity all year, all day long. It's hot, it's nasty, it's rough, it's hard to live there. So please pray for that. Would you? Please pray for that. Okay, I'll tell you more. Now, before you leave today, in the back, we've put some of these magazines out on the table in the back. The stories I'm going to tell you are told more in detail in this magazine. Picture of this man, I saw him, I met him. And so I want you to just to take him home, pick up one of the magazines, take it home. It's going to tell you more, even more than what I can tell you this morning, about the need of the Amazon of Brazil and how you can help us to pray. So I'm going to ask if you would to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And Tim, if we can go, thank you very much. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. I'm going to read that in just a moment, but you've got it on the screen there for you as well. And I want to talk for a few minutes about passion for the lost. One of the realities of life as missionaries, life on the mission field, is that we are daily, every single day, confronted with people that are lost. And I understand, you are too. You work with people that are lost. You're confronted with people's needs and they are lost. They are lost and in distress. Sometimes people's lives, and I, even as a lead pastor for a church, I am astounded at the ways people find, and please forgive me to destroy their own lives. And as you try to minister grace into those lives, you understand they are desperately lost, seemingly with no possible answer and fainting under the weight of their own sin. And we're constantly confronted with that. And we see it at all levels of life. We are in a community, Barrio Alto, it's not a nice term, but it's all over Latin America. It's the term that they use for the upper class. That's the term they use for that area. That's where we're at. But let me make sure you understand, the lostness is at every level of life. It doesn't matter whether you come from the poorest community of the Amazon River. I've been there, I've seen them, I've walked among them. You can't get any poorer, and they're still lost. Or go into the most expensive community that you can think of, and they are still lost. And we need to be a people that are passionate for the lost. Matthew 9:36 says, "But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were fainting under the weight of their sin and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He calls us to be a people of passion for the lost, and for us to be moved to action for that. They really are lost financially. No matter poor or rich, they're lost financially. They're lost in the evil of poverty. I have seen and lived and watched regularly since we've been missionaries, the evil of poverty. And it is. Lost in paganism. And as you see levels of paganism going on today, some of it, and you are learning more and more of this in the United States, you're seeing it more and more. As cultures come more and more to the U.S., you're seeing the levels of paganism, and they're lost. And they're lost in their spirituality. Lost in their spirituality. Actually thinking somehow because they believe in God or believe in something, they are spiritual. They're lost in their spirituality. And I want to remind us, go ahead, Tim, and change the slide if you would. I want to remind us once again that God is passionate about the lost. From day one of creation, it has been God's plan to reach the lost. He knew what Adam and Eve would do. From day one, his plan has been to reach the lost. There's no secret plan. This is not something you have to search years and years and years for to figure out God's plan for the lost. It's not a secret. It's simple. It's straightforward. We don't understand it sometimes clearly, but when he says, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon them, they shall receive power to do what? To be witnesses. That's straightforward, simple. His plan is that with the power of the Holy Spirit that the lost are reached. And he in the beginning, when you look at creation, when you look at Genesis, and when you look at the stories of Genesis, God didn't take any time to already begin through Abraham to make clear his message of reaching the lost. So look with me at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. There are 7 promises in Genesis in these 4 verses. Incredible promises for us. When he says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you." In other words, leave where you're at. He didn't know where he was going, but leave. I'm going to lead you where you need to be. Now look in verse 2. Here's promise number 1. He says, "And I will make you a great nation." That's number 1 promise. The next promise. "And I will bless you." 3, "And make your name great." These are the different promises that you find. The next one, so that you will be a blessing. Number four. Part of the passion for the lost is understanding that we have been blessed to be a blessing. It is not just that every single Sunday or every time the doors are open that we come to be blessed. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's a part of the promise to Abraham. And the promise to us is, as you are blessed, be a blessing to others. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. 6, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Wow. That's a promise. Ouch. And the final one, in you, and this is the part that is so critical for you and I, in you, all the families of the earth, all the families of the earth, all the tribes, all the nations, all, they didn't have all the geographical nations that exist today, the day of Abraham. When God promises that all the families, we're talking tribes. We're talking people groups. Was there an Egypt? Yes, there was. Was there some other country? Yes, there were. But he's talking about family. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. How? Through his lineage, through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:8 is that fulfillment of that promise. The word that Paul gives us in Galatians 3:8 when he says, and the scripture, talking about Abraham, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentile, all the way back, time of Abraham, he's saying God already planned that the Gentiles would come into this whole program of salvation. It was already set in place. So that God would justify the Gentile by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. It was preached it to him. He knew this grace was coming, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. In who? In Jesus Christ. We are all blessed. Matthew 24:14. Look at that with me, please. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Not just Jerusalem. Not just to the Jews. Not just to those around Israel. All nations. And all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The word nations there again is the word ethnic groups. It's not just geographical groups. There exist today, if I'm correct in my numbers, 220 nations. If I believe I'm correct, we have the Assemblies of God. I'm not speaking of everybody, but we have missionaries, churches, national churches in all but 16 nations. And that's an incredible, incredible number, but we're still missing 16. But besides those 16, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of unreached people groups that no one has ever been able to preach the gospel to. And I really do believe, and I hope you do, every tribe, every nation has the right one time to hear the gospel in their language. One time in their language. There are between, now I'm talking about just Brazil. Between 180 and 200 unreached tribes in the Amazon basin of Brazil. These are the nations that we can't go to because of this group called Funai. It's illegal to go to them. It's one of the largest landmass areas of unreached people groups in the world. It includes Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and Brazil. When you put all of those countries together, we're talking almost 400 unreached tribes. Just last year, and people say to me, yeah, but Mike, we know where all of them are, right? Actually, we don't. Last year, and this was actually I remember it was on the news. I don't watch the news anymore. I read the news on the internet, and so I was regularly reading, and I read this article, brand new tribe last year found in the Amazon of Brazil. Never before touched. But people actually say, yeah, but we've already finished the task. We're done. And I keep wondering to myself, but what about that tribe? Do they have the right to hear the gospel one time in their life, in their language? How about the rest of them that have, and I'm just talking Latin America. I'm not even talking about the Asian and the 1040 window and the other unreached people groups around the world. And this is just Latin America. Do they have the right to hear the gospel one time in their language? You did. How about the rest of them? Let me tell you a little bit more about the UPGs of Brazil. Tim, go ahead and go to the next slide. There are four different groups to reach on the Amazon. The first are the people that work the river. And I'll just mention to you what you see there, and I'm not sure what happened that the bottom part of that's moved down or up or whatever, but what you're seeing there, those are the boats on the Amazon in Manaus. They're very big. Everything functions on the Amazon River by these large boats. And if you need to go upriver, you go by boat. Thankfully, I was able to take a plane. But 99% of the people, this is their transportation. And if you're going upriver or downriver, you're talking 5, 6, 7 days on these boats. And the only thing you have to sleep on are hammocks. Now, if you think hammock sounds really wonderful in the, you know, the beautiful heat of, you know, sleeping outside on a hammock, they are awful to sleep in. They are terrible. You will have the worst backache of your life. It takes a technique, and I don't have it. So you don't want to have to sleep for 5 or 6 days on these things. But that's the life. That's Manaus. That's why we want to set up the base there, because this is the center where all of the boats come into, where all of the indigenous people come into. This is the place. So this is one of the river people. They've been there for centuries working the rubber plantations. And they are a people that need churches, that need people to come in and help and to reach them. They're not an unreached people group. We do have some churches among the river people. But see, please pray for the river people of Brazil. The second one, and go ahead and change the slide if you would for me, Tim. These are the tribes that we actually have access to. And there are a large number of them. This particular tribe are called the Majoruna. And it's a small tribe, about 130 to 140 people. We have water wells there. We have places there where we're able to teach and preach there. Those are just some of the young people from that particular tribe. We have direct contact with them. They can contact other tribes, but only within their language group. If you try to go this tribe, if they try to go to another language group, it is very likely they will be killed. This is not just some cute story. These are very, very violent tribe. So you just can't walk into another tribe because you're a tribal person. And so you have to know their language or speak their language. We also have access. Go ahead to the next slide. This is the chief on the right with his youngest son, three other of his kids. But this is the tribe that we're able to reach and go to at this point. And then whatever other language groups within that tribal group that they can go to as well. Go to the next one, if you would, Tim. This is the town of Islandia that's on the border of Peru, right on the Amazon River. It's the border of Peru with Brazil. This particular town, everyone there speaks Spanish and Portuguese. In this particular location, this pastor in the middle between myself and Mark Lemos, one of our other missionaries, this is a training center. This is what we're trying to do. Because we can't go into the unreached tribes, if an unreached tribe member comes out, and they do, and they go to these towns like Islandia to buy things, and they're reached with the gospel, we then can train that person to go back to the tribe. It isn't just like waking up tomorrow and getting in a boat and going across the river to a tribe and preaching the gospel. We can't do that right now. So what we've done is we're setting up centers to be able to train the people to go back to their own tribes. Please pray for these training centers, because this is how we will be able to get back into these locations. So we have them in Peru. There's some in Colombia. There's some in Ecuador. And we are allowed to preach in these locations. We are allowed to prepare workers in this place. Go to the next slide, Tim, would you please? And then we have the prohibited tribes. This picture is an actual picture of the Matis tribe, M-A-T-I-S. If you want to Google that, you can find. It is considered today the most violent tribe in the world. Just a few days before we encountered this tribal group, and I'll tell you that story in just a moment, the Métis tribe, because of a simple mistake, a simple moment of confusion, two young people from the Métis tribe went down to the river. They were sick. And the only way you're going to get any kind of care is you go down to the river and you wait for any kind of a boat to go by. You get on that boat, you go downriver to the next place where they might have some kind of medical care. And the two young people went down to the next city for medical care. However, the Métis tribe thought that another neighboring tribe had killed those two young people and thrown their bodies into the river. Because of that confusion, Métis attacked the other tribe. And then the other tribe attacked the Métis again. Well, then the Métis decided, you know what, that's it. We're not going to do this anymore. And so the Métis tribe, this tribe you're seeing on the screen, went to the other tribe and killed about 22 or 23 of the men of that tribe. They are here because Funai, F-U-N-A-I, took all their weapons away. And they were very mad about that because they couldn't protect themselves anymore. And so they went to the office of Funai in this town of Atalaya, and they ran the director of Funai off, put a sword to his throat, barely started slicing his throat, it bled, and he ran quickly and got out of there. But they took over the facility. What's amazing about the story is that without understanding and knowing, we, myself, Mark Lemos, and another missionary, Wilson Cannenberg, were looking for another missionary. And it was just one mistake after another. And as we're driving around looking for this other missionary, we went to one tribe and he wasn't there. And then we went into the town of Atalaya and visited two houses and he wasn't there. And we kept looking and we finally got frustrated. Oh, let's go down by the riverbank and see. Maybe he's down by the riverbank. And so we went back down by the bank of the river, the Amazon. And as we got down there, this is what we found. The Métis tribe had taken over the Funai office. In addition to that, four other tribes that had not been at war with the Métis had come in and helped to take over the tribe. And for the next 4 hours, we had an opportunity to talk for the very first time with members of the Métis tribe. And our missionary, Wilson Cannenberg, who does speak Portuguese as well as Spanish and English, he was able, with myself, Mark Lemos, go ahead, Tim, to the next slide. And again, we're talking, you can see the marks on the back of this young man, one of the Métis tribal warriors. What you can't see well, I wish you could, is the necklace he's wearing. And every one of the tribal members of Métis wear these necklaces, and they're just hundreds and hundreds of teeth from monkeys. They eat them, and so then they use the teeth to make necklaces. We talked for them for 4 hours. At one point, Wilson Cannenberg took out a tiny little MP3 player. You know what that is, right? It's an MP3 player. And Charles Stanley, how many of you have ever seen Charles Stanley on TV? And maybe you've seen Charles Stanley talks about making MP3 players for the UPGs. We had one here. So if you ever have a chance to give, I'm not telling you to not give to the church first, obviously. But if you ever, it really, really helps. Because all of a sudden, Wilson takes out the MP3 player and he's playing the stories of the gospel to the Métis tribe. And they say, hey, wait, we know that language. Why can't we have this in our language? First time opportunity that somebody said, we'd like to have these stories about God in our language. That moment of nothing but mistakes turned into a strategic moment in the timing of God to meet these Métis tribe, and they talked with us for 4 hours. Those are the kind of things, like I said, we can't go to that tribal village, but when we have these kind of encounters, and then we can take anyone that received the Lord in those kind of encounters and put them into training to then go back themselves and preach the gospel. We need you to pray. See, three or four missionaries, families living in Manaus to set up these kind of training centers and pray that God will continue to open doors for us to have these kind of encounters. We did everything wrong, and God took what everything we did wrong and made it into this kind of a moment. Passion for the lost. pray for us about four or five families to base in Manaus, Brazil. God is passionate for the lost, so passionate. Did you know that he even tells us in his word that he is going to make this happen? Go ahead, Tim, and change the slide, would you? He tells us. He is so passionate for the lost. He tells us he's going to make this happen. When people tell me we're finished, we're done, I say to them, read Revelation 5, 9 and 10. When you read Revelation 5, 9 and 10, you understand to me, we're not done. Because Revelation 5, 9 and 10 says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you, who is this? Jesus. Worthy is Jesus to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood, just what we celebrated this morning in the communion, by your blood, you ransomed people for God from where? Every tribe. It says every language, folks. Every language and people and nation. It's all included. So when we stand before the, we will stand with every nation, every language, every tribe, every people. It is going to happen. The question for you and I is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to respond to that? Because he already said, after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. We have that plan. We know what that is. So then what are we going to do about it? Matthew 18:14, the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones, talking about children, any of them should perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. There are those that say, well, yeah, but it's already prepared. It's already counted. Somebody's already counted, you know, exactly who's going to be saved. I am wasting my time if that is real. Because if that's real, you don't need me. He'll just do it out of nothing. But if his plan and his will is that, not his will is not that any should, but not any, not one, not your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your children, your relatives, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his plan. The question for us today is, what are we going to do about it? How will you respond to this call to passion? What if God is calling you today? How will you respond? I really do believe that God is still calling people to be missionaries. I really do believe that he's calling people to be pastors and youth pastors and children pastors and ministers and associate pastors, executive pastors. I believe he's doing that. I live that every week in Santiago as the lead pastor of a church. And our church regularly, we have what we call Escuela de Liderazgo, School of Leadership on Monday night. We're first, second, and third year, where everybody that's a part of the leadership of our church is part of this program where they're being trained. We believe that everybody in the church can be a part of leadership and could be called. How are you going to respond? What will you do? And that's the question today. Please, one of the things for you to do is please pray for Manaus, Brazil, and a team of missionaries, and the 180 to 200 unreached people groups that have never received the gospel one time in their language. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we ask you today to work in everyone that's sitting within the sound of my voice, a response. It may be a response, Lord, to pray, a response to give, a response to go. But I ask that you would see, Lord, speak to every single one. It may be a passion for their neighborhood, a passion to be a part of the ministry of this church, a passion for a ministry or a type of witnessing or a work that they've never thought of before. But Lord, I ask that you would speak to every single person within the sound of my voice. May they respond to you, the Holy Spirit, and your call on their life. In Jesus' name.